Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
All right, this episode we're going to do two of my homebrews and one that is not a homebrew. So I've got a double IPA and a hazy double IPA, and then my version of Black is Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the first commercially available Black is Beautiful for Metro Vancouver from Northpaw Brewing.
Oh, cool.
So
very cool.
Yeah,
very
and then
good.
The Northpaw.
Shout out to Courtney.
Northpaw Brewing, I think they were selling the bottles for $22.
$22.50.
It's a fancy looking bottle.
It's a fancy bottle. It's kind of bulbous on the bottom.
It's like a champagne bottle.
It's like the champagne style, 750 milliliters.
Yeah.
And
worth every penny.
All of the proceeds from this beer are going to, what's it, Black Lives Matter Vancouver?
No, it's I think it's not just, it's BML Vancouver, but also just it's in support of all...
Yeah, it says brewed to support justice and equality for people of color.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was trying to get out. Part of me.
So yeah, so Courtney is one of the owners of Northpaw, and he is a person of color. And shout out to him; he's a fabulous person. And good on him for trying to make a brewery work.
It's great. He's a great guy, and it's a great thing that he's done to bring this to the community because it's been so long. So, well, it was on the island quickly, but nobody's done it inland. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to finally see it out here so it can get the support it deserves.
And I laughed. I was one of the first people probably to get a bottle because I got there fairly quickly after they opened. They were still filling the bottles. I parked in front of their loading bay and I walked in. He was right there, and I'm like, is it okay if I park there? He's like, no, but go get... You're here to try the beer anyways, so you might as well. And so I'm looking at the board, and he's like... Come on, I know what you're here to drink.
Yeah, like, that's
stop looking.
I went in on the Saturday and, pardon me, got the last bottle of it. Ooh. And my buddy Quentin was like, hey, man, don't post this to social media because they're going to make me feel 100 more right now. So I posted to social media anyways.
Of course you did.
Yeah, good.
So we got the first bottle here and the last bottle.
Well, probably not the first, but one of the first.
Yeah, nice. Mine was the last in the fridge. That just meant they had to bottle more. So both ain't as cool as we pretend to be.
No. All right, well, let's start with my IPA.
Uh-oh.
Let's go.
I think I had... 8 or 9 bottles of these 750 bottles. One of them did go off, so I'm really hoping that this is one of the...
Shit.
We'll let him know.
This is my second to last bottle.
It's better not gush.
No, I didn't gush at all. The flavor was off on one. Okay. I think I just didn't sanitize it well enough, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Still a fairly novice homebrewer.
For the homebrewers out there, remember, the first 3 rules of homebrewing are sanitation.
Yeah.
What was the 3rd one again?
Sanitation.
Okay.
I think the 3rd one was a shut up and listen, but...
Okay, I didn't gush.
It's actually a little undercarbonated here.
I had a little bit of a...
This one's a little undercarbonated here.
A little bit, yeah, okay.
Ah, darn it.
Oh, well. What happens? How much priming sugar did you use?
I don't remember, but every bottle I've opened so far has been pretty well carbonated. That hasn't been the problem on this batch.
Oh, this is cloudy. Hazy. Oh, it smells funky. Yeah. I'm smelling like sweetness. I'm smelling caramel. I'm smelling fruit.
It was, I forget what the second hop was. We had to change out from Haldol Blanc because they didn't have it at Fraser Mills. It's Nelson and something else, and I can't remember. This came in around 8.5% alcohol.
Yeah, I'm smelling booze.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm smelling some like peach in there with the booze, but it does have a nice smell to it, Mike.
It's not what I was aiming for, but it's not bad on the aroma.
Where'd you get the recipe?
Fraser Mills Fermentation.
So Michael gave you this recipe?
Yeah. Okay. It swapped out from my first... from the last episode we did of the homebrew episode, my second IPA, it was basically the same recipe, except they had to swap out the Haldol Blanc for something else.
Right.
And the yeast was changed as well.
Okay. Do you remember what cheese he
used? I don't.
This ain't bad, Mike. It's a little undercarbonated, like you said, when you cracked it, but it's got some good flavor to it. I'm almost getting like a little mango-y peach thing going on.
Whoa. Tasting the booze, it's warm.
It is warm, but I mean,
well, the cooler he did bring it in is a bit different than the first one we had.
8.4 or whatever the hell it might be.
Yeah, you're going to taste
the booze no matter what.
I don't know.
It's interesting. I'm getting some sweetness. I'm getting some fruitness.
Yeah,
I like it, man.
Fruity. Sorry,
it's not as good as my. The other batch that we tried.
Yeah.
And I think I would prefer it to be Nelson and Halcho Blanc again. And I'd like to go back to the original yeast again, but it just wasn't in stock.
The way I'm tasting or feeling the alcohol in this, I'm thinking that it might have been a little warm when it fermented.
It actually wasn't. That's the funny part. This thing blew through like crazy. It fermented fast. It was cool.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. So
I'm not picking up like crazy weird fruitiness that you might get from a really warm fermentation.
I don't know. I really like the way it smells.
The one bottle that I was talking about that went off, it was really buttery. It obviously something went wrong.
This honestly smells like there would be buttery, but I'm getting like peach aroma and stuff like that. But
it's fruity like crazy.
Yeah, it's way fruitier than I expected.
I don't know.
It almost tasted like I dry fruited it.
Well, that's another reason I was thinking it may be fermented warm, because usually warm, vigorous fermentation is where you can get fruitiness.
Okay. But yeah, no, it definitely wasn't warm, but...
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a drain pour.
I'd fuck with this.
Oh, definitely not.
This would, straight up, I'd drink this every night.
I
it's not saying a lot for me, but come on.
Hey, whatever, right? At least, as I brew here, it's getting better.
Well, dude, that's what we would expect. Exactly.
And I'm hoping. This is my second to last batch of Brew and Bag.
Okay.
Black is Beautiful is my last Brew and Bag.
And so you've had a mash done since?
Yeah, I've only done the one beer, the one that you supplied the recipe for, Warren.
Okay.
So that's going to be my first beer out of the proper False Bottom mash tun. And it came under ABV, so I have to work on that a little bit. I have to get better with it, but...
Yeah, it's interesting trying to dial in your efficiency and all that kind of thing so that you can accurately predict recipes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I still don't have an accurate profile in my software so that I can accurately predict exactly what the outcome will be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a funny thing. It depends on the crush. It depends on your equipment. It depends on your technique, and it also depends on your times and temperatures, right? I mean, there's so many factors involved trying to nail something and make a recipe that's predictable is very difficult. So what I do when I look at a recipe is I say in the recipe, okay, so they're saying that the original gravity should be this.
Yeah.
If I hit that original gravity or come anywhere close to it, I consider that a success. Final gravity, that's a whole nother ballgame.
Yes,
because that depends on the yeast and how happy your yeast is and everything. So I usually ignore the final gravity on a recipe, and I let the beer do its thing, and when the yeast is done, the yeast is done. And whether the final gravity is below or above what the predicted final gravity is, I don't really concern myself too much with that. I don't really pay attention to that. Unless it's really high, then something's happened and your yeast is crapped out and you might have a problem. But beyond that, you know what? If it finishes lower than predicted, great.
Yeah.
If it's anywhere around predicted, that's great too.
Well, I think at this point, I think you've tasted maybe all but one of my batches of beer so far. And the first batch was a little chunky. It wasn't great, but nothing horrible has gone wrong yet. Nothing's gone wrong yet, seriously.
You gave me a bottle of your first one.
Which was actually the original version of this.
Yeah, and it was, pardon me, it was a little bit sediment in it and stuff, but it tasted really nice. And it was like unfiltered, delicious. This one is totally different. I'm getting like, I don't know. I almost want to say, like, there's almost a little vanilla.
A lot of vanilla caramel taste to it. And
like, like, it's a sweetness. But I really like it. It may be a bit undercarbonated, but like I said, I would fuck with this. It's not bad, man.
The flavor is the same on this bottle as the majority of the bottles I've had so far, just not as carbonated. But I think it's probably a little too sweet for what I wanted it, for sure. But
I like I've drank that sweetness.
I think I got one bottle left other than this, and I've happily drank them regardless.
So here's a question for you. What was your mash temperature?
Oh, I don't remember what it was now.
Four.
God.
So
I don't have the recipe on me right
now.
I
can tell you that mash temperature has a huge impact on the sweetness or perceived sweetness of your final product.
Well,
right?
I also did add, I think I added some corn sugar to the mash on this one too.
Okay. Well, most of that should have been eaten up by the yeast in fermentation. But when you mash at 154 or higher, you're going to end up with a lot more residual sweetness in your final product because those long chain sugars are being produced. And that's more difficult for the yeast to break down. If you're mashing at 148 to 154 Fahrenheit, then you're going to be producing more of those shorter chain sugars that the yeast can break down and turn into alcohol. So the basically, if you're mashing at a lower temperature, 148 to 150 Fahrenheit, that's where you're going to be making a drier beer that's not as sweet in the finished product. If you're going to be mashing at 154 to 158 Fahrenheit, that's where you're going to be making a beer that's going to finish sweet. It's going to have sweetness in its final version.
Interesting. This one's nice. Like, it's sweet. It's got that maybe like what you're saying about the mash temperature, but it's I don't mind it at all. To be honest with you,
I'm thinking this was probably mashed on the higher end of things.
It kind
of not only does it taste sweeter, but it's also got a more more of a mouthfeel.
It's citrusy, vanilla, got a nice mouthfeel, and it's a little undercarbed, but from my intelligent mouth, it's nice.
I can't find it here. I thought I had a picture of the recipe somewhere, and I'm digging through my old photos and can't find it.
Was it a clone of some commercial beer or something? Or?
I don't think this was, actually. No. I think I wanted to use Nelson.
Oh, Nelson Sauvignon?
I wanted to, because it's like one of the hard, as a commercial brewery, it's one of the hardest hops to get.
It's a great hop.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful hop. So I wanted to brew with it because I've tried a couple beers with Nelson, but very few, but I always hear people rave about it. And I'm like, I can get Nelson. I'm trying this.
Yeah. And Nelson Sauvignon's a really nice hop. It's got a lot of those tropical fruit flavors.
And wine grape.
That's what's coming through. There is a little grapiness to this as well. Yep. So
that's where the Sauvignon part comes from, I think.
Hey, I'm not going to unfriend you. I'll say that.
We'll find other ways to do that. No.
Now, you know what? At the end of the day, I always tell homebrewers, if you didn't dump it out, if it was drinkable, it's a win.
If it doesn't blow up in your house,
that's
a win.
That too. If your wife doesn't put it into an exceptionally hot room for it to explode.
Weird. Who happened? Oh, what? Not me.
if Warren doesn't spit out your beer, it's a win.
Yeah, there you go.
He hasn't spit one of them out yet. He poured out my first beer ever, but he drank some of it and didn't spit it out. So,
as a certified beer judge, if it's not good and I think it might make me sick, I'll spit it out.
Oh, that's like, one thing you taught me, never become a beer judge, because it just everything you try.
It'll ruin you.
Like, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to release this commercially.
No.
It's not a commercial beer, but it's definitely, it's
good for home. I can see it being a basis for a commercial beer. I think with some adjustments and tweaks, it could be quite a viable beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree on that. It's like I said, there's certain points that are very tasty. I think you could keep rebrewing it until you fucking nail it, bro.
I want to rebrew it again with the original Haltet au Blanc and the original yeast again, because I'd like to perfect that. It was just out of stock.
Yeah, the first one you did, you actually gave me a bottle, and it was quite nice. It's like I did enjoy the unfilteredness of it. I do like it on fucking beer.
With these all beers,
the yeast and shit in there, it was pretty fucking good.
With a homebrew bottle-conditioned beer, it's good to keep it really nice and chilled in the fridge. Pour it nice and lightly so you don't get too much of the sediment. Yeah. Leave the last little bit. And then you can let it warm up if you want.
Yeah.
But keeping it cold keeps that sediment at the bottom of the bottle. Does. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, at least 24 hours in the fridge to let the sediment settle is a good thing.
Yeah, which you're not going to get now because I drove here.
And then you got to be very gentle when pouring it.
All right, well, let's get into my version of the Black is Beautiful.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so this is going to be my Black is Beautiful, my interpretation, which again was Michael from Fraser Mills. I had brought in a version of the recipe, but it was a little hard to scale, and he had one actually on hand already.
So talking about scaling, you're doing a 3-gallon batch at home, and most recipes out there are going to be for 5 or 10 gallons.
And actually,
right?
the one I had was just percentages.
Oh, okay.
So it was like it was the one that was actually released for all commercial breweries. Yeah. This is the percentage. So if you have a 5-gal, you know, 10-hec, whatever it is, you can scale up.
If in most cases I release recipes on for my homebrew column in What's Brewing magazine, I try to include the percentages. Keeping in mind that people aren't always doing 5-gallon recipes, right? Yeah. So if you're doing a different size, I like to provide the percentages exactly for that reason.
Well, I mean, when I used to be the assistant brewer with Steve, one of our hosts that's not around these days that much, it was a 1-gallon system. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny.
Exactly.
That's unbelievably small.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's hard to believe we used to do it.
So this recipe, though, was put on by Weathered Souls Brewing. Is that correct?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a worldwide
beer
project at this point.
Yeah.
You have to – all the proceeds, like all of the – any money past what it costs to make the beer, basically, has to go towards some charity to help people of color.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't have to be like Black Lives Matter. Doesn't have to be
biopic kind
of. Yeah, but yeah, any way to help people of color to make life better. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and it's an awesome, awesome thing to be doing right now.
I'm hoping it keeps coming back every year. I'd love to see it as a worldwide collaboration yearly.
Yeah,
it kind of, in my opinion, it kind of took an undertake to the All Together collab because the All Together, holy shit, that just popping like it's hot. But I think unfortunately for this beer is that it took a back burner to the All Together movement, which was a big collab out of the States.
It was kind of happening at the same time.
Out of New York, and it came out first, and then the Black Lives Matter and everything started happening. So this kind of took a back burner.
Yeah.
But right now that it's coming into Canada, it's being killed right now, and nobody else is doing it. Mm. So a big shout out to Northpaw and to Mike for brewing his own.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, All Together seemed like it was much more proficient, or whatever you want to call it. I saw that happening more.
Well, it was right during the COVID, and it was to keep all the industry people in work and getting donations and stuff like that. So
it seemed much more prolific.
It was a lot of stuff going on in North America at the same time that they brought these two things out, collab style, and put them on the internet. So anyways, we're about to...
But the thing is, too, is like if you look at the States, I think Black is Beautiful was probably more prolific.
It definitely was. I know the Black Lives Matter movement, it was huge at the time when this came out, and it really caught on out there, and a lot of people did brew it, so I'm excited to try yours, Mike, so cheers, guys.
Cheers.
I can tell you, this is black.
Yes, it
this
is.
This looks like a stout.
I can't even see my
deep tan, rocky head.
I can't even see my
hand
through
this
the
again,
glass.
This came in around 9.
There's a bit of lacing going on here, Mike.
There it is.
It looks nice.
Smells great.
Wow. It smells rich. It smells roasted.
It's honestly, Mike, I'm going to say this right now. It smells like North Paws. Like,
it smells like a stout.
Yeah.
But it, like, I've had North Paws, and they're the first ones in the lower mainland that have done Black is Beautiful.
Which is sitting right beside my bottle of this.
Exactly. Yeah. But it smells almost on point for theirs. So
that's nice.
You did something right, brother.
Yeah, I'm not smelling weird off flavors like diacetyl or acetaldehyde or anything, so good on you.
What he said.
It actually smells good.
Oh, Mike.
Getting caramel in there.
It's malty. You got a caramelization in there. Oh, and then it gets roasty at the end.
Oh, wow. That is rich.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting the roast. I'm getting the caramel. I'm getting that earthy.
Definitely chocolate, though.
I'm also getting like an umami kind of thing, yep. You know, like a soy sauce.
You get the
almost.
Chocolate in the mouthfeel at the back. Like,
yeah.
Very hard.
Oh. It's funny.
And it switches to a little bit of coffee on my tongue
that wicked roast flavor.
Yeah. It's almost like it's milk chocolate and then dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well done, my friend.
Yeah, so up front is very balanced and sweet. And then it starts moving towards the roasted and more of the acidic and more of the bitterness. And it finishes with more of the bitterness in the finish.
That's a little bit of a well-rounded journey. Honestly.
That's a damn good beer.
Probably my best beer I've made so far.
I might have to agree with you.
I'm going to agree 100% on that, Mike. You did a fantastic job on this. Because I've honestly, last night I had... the black is Beautiful from North Paw, which we also have here. But like, fuck, dude, you nailed this one.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good.
Wow, what's the percentage on this?
It's around 9.5. Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
I'm tasting the alcohol, just a little spiciness from the alcohol, but it's not like burning. It's not warm, so it's fermented properly.
Yeah, this fermented side by side with that IPA that we just drank. I brewed them same night.
So crazy. Which one?
IPA
did you
first?
The IPA and made it get not good?
I don't know. No, I brewed the IPA first, and then I brewed the Black is Beautiful.
Really?
It was a long day.
Well, this is the better of the two for sure.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I'm pretty impressed, Mike.
Thank you.
I think you're going to be impressed after you taste North Paw's version
of this. You think this is pretty similar, right?
I'm not going to say similar. There's different notes for sure.
Yeah.
But he did a very well
Close
job.
Enough, though.
North Paws, in my opinion, was better. I brought a bottle to a social distance family dinner, and they all like mine better. I don't agree
with
them.
They're just saying that.
They're family, though. But Warren, you also said you like this beer, too. So.
Yeah, this might be one of the best beers I've had
from
you so far.
I'm going to say it right here, right now. North Paws is better, but you did a good fucking job.
Well, see, that's my agreement. I totally agree.
There's even some lacing with this.
There is slightly on mine, too.
North Paw is a commercial brewery.
Mm-hmm. That's my whole point on giving you kudos, though, man. You followed the recipe very well, it seems. The flavors are there. Like, it's where it's supposed to be. It may be a little under alcohol percentage.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting the alcohol like you said you did. It's like sweet and stuff, but I'm not getting
a
boozy.
I'm getting the spiciness from it. I'm not the burn or the heat from it.
Yeah.
I'm not getting that.
Yeah, but I've done less than 10 brews.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's my point, dude. Yeah. Well done, man. Kudos to you for nailing this one. It's probably your best homebrew so far.
Oh, it's
getting better.
Yeah, it is.
Getting better, which is important.
Right? Yeah, unlike me.
Well, what have you made lately?
Nothing. Pizza pops.
What have you brewed lately? Did you even make
nothing?
Cider?
I'm waiting for one of you guys. No, I haven't. I'm waiting for apple juice, man.
What do you mean you're waiting?
Can I get it? I'm not part of Van Homebrewers. They're like, you got to sign up and pay dues.
Yeah.
I don't want to fucking pay dues.
$20 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I'm fucking having another kid.
Okay, so watch the flyers, and when you see the blue label on for 99 cents a liter, go pick up 20 of them.
Oh, that's what's happening.
All right?
Oh, yeah. No, get that sun right, for sure.
Pick a yeast, any yeast, and bada boom, bada bing.
No, I think it sounds like a champagne yeast would be a good one to use for
that. That would be good, but I can tell you right now that I know commercial cider makers who use ale yeasts all the time. Whatever you pick.
Well, our buddy Cam on Tap, on
our editor.
Our editor, yeah. He used Kvik last year, and he said it turned out pretty well. Yeah. But I got a couple friends that are interested in trying it with me, so I'm going to stick my hand into it. I mean, I got the 5-gallon carboy. I've got two of them. I've got some boiling pots. And
you're ready to
the
go?
Strain.
You don't need to boil cider.
I know, but I'm slowly getting gear is what I was trying to get at there. I'm not going to be just...
So you might actually make some beer sometime?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Wow.
I do know some people that do it.
Oh, he's got a more full glass than I do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Sorry. Sorry, we're just looking at pouring samples of the North Paw one now.
Yes, the 10% alcohol Black is Beautiful from North Paw.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
And this is a very, very nice beer.
It's phenomenal.
Beautiful bottle.
Check out at Pit Craft Beer Dad for my post. Shameless plug.
I was going to do a really fancy post for this, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to bring it tonight. So.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I had it last night, and I enjoyed it. And the funny thing is, it's only a 750-milliliter bottle, so it leaves you wanting more.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yes, it does, yes.
Well, it's got the little bubble in the bottom of the bottle, so when you think you pour a glass, it looks like, oh, I got this much more. And you pour your last glass, you're like, goddamn bubble.
Last glass
bubble.
Is going to be nothing, yeah.
Yeah, goddamn
bubble.
It's a bubble.
Champagne bottle, so it's got that indentation in the bottom.
But it's that really bulbous bottom champagne bottle, yeah.
It's a beautiful packaging, and even the label's quite nice.
Yeah, right. The label's pretty much universal, but they got North Paw's got his little the N in the bottom of the corner, and then it says brewed to support justice and equality for people of color, and it is by Weathered Souls. So it's the original recipe,
and I can tell you this pours really dark. This is a dark beer, but my God, the head on this is extra thick and very tan.
I don't think you could pick a better brew to do for Black Lives Matter and everything than an Imperial Stout.
No.
It's
so it smells a little different than yours, Mike.
A little bit, yep.
I'm not getting the fruitiness as much. I'm getting more of the roast.
Mm-hmm. It's heavy roast on this.
But not like an acrid, bitter roast.
Yeah.
It's just just pleasant, chocolatey kind of roast. And I'm not picking up the booze as much either. What's the percentage on this?
It's actually
10%.
10 fucking percent.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't say fucking on the label, but yes, 10 fucking percent.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, it doesn't smell like 10%.
Well, I just got a shout out to Courtney and North Paw for actually killing this brew. It is phenomenal. Mike did okay. North Paw did better.
Yeah, love I have you though, to bro. Agree with you. I have to agree with you.
Well, Mike said it even before we started drinking it. He preferred them.
Yeah.
And I had it last night, and honestly... Although
I prefer the cost of mine.
Fair enough.
But I had no problem buying two bottles at $22 a bottle.
Well, at 10%, this should age nicely.
I went there on Halloween and with my wife and my daughter, and we actually made a nice day of it. And... my wife obviously can't drink. She's pregnant right now, but I told her how delicious it was, and she smelt it and thought it smelled amazing. So just from the smell from a pregnant lady that doesn't even drink Imperial Stouts, that means a lot.
Yeah, it's got lots of it's on the sweeter side on the flavor. It's not as roasty as mine.
No, yours is more roasty for sure.
A little more fruity.
Yeah, there's almost a tartness with this one.
There is.
That comes into play. And I'm thinking that's coming from the crystal malt once the sugar's been removed by the yeast.
The back says no crystal malt.
It does not.
I know, there's nothing there.
So, yeah, I'm getting the similarities, but at the same time, it's quite different.
Well, and even then, Weathered Souls released the recipe, but they also said... that go ahead and change the recipe.
Yeah.
You know, the aim is for an Imperial Stout, do this, but you can do whatever you want. Some people barrel aged them. They did all kinds of different stuff.
I just got a wicked alcohol burn from that last sip that came up through the back of my nasal passage.
I find this one more alcoholy burn than
Mike's.
It's
boozy.
Yeah.
Ooh, well, it is stronger, but not that much.
5.5%.
Well, between 1 and 0.5, yeah.
Just say 0.5.
Yeah, this one's more noticeable alcohol-wise.
Yeah. It's less roasty. It's a little more fruity, a little more chocolatey, but a little boozier. It's also a really tasty beer still.
Yeah, there's a really interesting kind of tartness or fruitiness or something that's coming in there that I wasn't prepared for.
And I get it, what you're saying, though. But
it works with it, and it kind of makes you want to
funny thing is, though,
taste more.
I did not taste that last night until I had Mike's today. So it's because it's the same brew. It's 100%. Because I did not feel any fruitiness or anything in that. It just was like roasty darkness. Like you got a little chocolate in there, some coffee. And now retasting it after drinking Mike's is like, okay, there is something, another element to this beer that wasn't there last night.
Yeah.
So it's cool to compare.
Damn. That's a good beer.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really interesting and a little bit different. But yeah, I would encourage you if you want to support the movement and you want to support Northpaw and you want to have a beer that's damn interesting and is multidimensional, go pick some of this up.
Hopefully it's still available.
It is still available.
Well, when this comes out, I mean.
Yeah, okay, well.
Might be a couple weeks, but we're at the beginning of November here. So maybe by mid to end November, it's still available, hopefully.
Hopefully it is. I don't know how else to say it, but
I don't know how big a batch was or anything. Yeah,
yeah, that's the hard part. I know they have been filling it off tap and capping the bottles on site, like quickly off the draft line. Yeah. So
on demand.
If you do buy it, you want to get it right there and drink it the next day, kind of thing. So you're not losing carbonation and flavors and shit.
Kind of like a growler rule,
basically. Yeah, but. I don't know. Just anyways, if you don't get a chance to try this, go to Northpaw. Courtney's got some really cool beers anyways. Absolutely. Like their Jamaican Pale Ale is like something nobody else does. It's got hella different flavors. They do a lot of cool things. They got their cream series, which I'm not a huge fan of, but they change the flavors on it. Like some people like cream ales. I'm not a fan, but I'll say it. Fuck it.
I can tell you that the cream ale with lime, I loved the name of it because it was crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was okay. They also had an orange one that was decent, but they switched the flavors. They're doing something different all the time.
Yeah.
It's in a cool location, too. Like, you drive right past Walmart, you get to go hit up Northpaw. You go. There's Provincial Spirits across the street from
them.
That's right.
Tin House
is right at the end of the place. And I hear there's another one open up in the area soon.
Yeah, Riverside, I believe, is the name of the new place.
I don't think it's called that.
Something like that.
It's something new coming out.
You'd have to ask somebody from Electric Bicycle about that.
Or just look for the reports on the two fermenters. That were stolen.
Or just follow me on
Welcome
Facebook.
To Poe Compton.
Well,
I can't believe they left those things outside covered by a tarp for a weekend.
See, that's the sad thing about that is it was left outside and somebody probably thought like it's free metal and tried to take it.
Yeah. Oh, no, they knew full well that they were stealing it.
It's Poe Compton,
it's
bro.
Stealing, it's stealing. Fuck Compton. Come to Pit Metal so you get cut. No, but it's very sad to see that, especially with we're all huge fans of the industry, and to see two big tanks like that damaged and just
very damaged,
fucked up.
One of them might not even be repairable.
Just call
it
FUBAR, fucked up beyond all recognition. Yeah.
Boardwalk Brewing,
that's what it is. Thank you.
Boardwalk. Okay, I thought it was.
See, I knew. No. See, I knew you're right.
I went to our Facebook group and
Boardwalk Brewing, and from what I understand, it's one of the guys that was involved with Electric Bicycle.
I think it's the head brewer of Electric Bicycle is in that, and a couple other people. Yeah. I'm glad to see. I just hope that the fucking metal places actually took ID from the people.
Are you kidding
me? They're supposed to.
Like they'll.
And then, so people can get roasted.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then insurance can help them. And I just hate to see a new brewery go through something so shitty like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough when you're already trying to start under
crazy conditions. Or you take them outside to do some rentals on the inside, they were which doing, to me means you're chipping up concrete.
Yeah, they were
waiting for the concrete to cure, right, over the weekend.
Yeah, so they were doing drainage lines and all that fun stuff that everybody loves.
So they're early in the build. And
they had them installed, and then they put them outside and left them, hoping that people are good human beings.
Oh, they were hoping that people are good human beings, but as we know, over the last few years especially, there's a huge component of society that aren't wonderful human beings.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is that just, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are left by the fucking wayside, and there's nothing to do but steal to try to survive.
Well, that's true,
and
too.
We just need to...
survival is your,
yeah,
your drive.
As a society, we have to stop fucking over the poor so that we can actually stop this cycle of bullshit.
Well, honestly, I don't think that was a poor thing, to be honest with you, because you needed a large truck to move them. You needed something to pick them up. It was a collab of assholes, in my opinion.
Unfortunately, there are scraps.
Unless you had like 16 homeless guys that didn't have a tent. I'm not saying homeless. Lift it all the way.
But you're right. Somebody needed equipment.
Yeah, no, it was planned, and that's the shitty part about it.
I'm not saying that, but unfortunately, people that have a truck with a high hub can still be really fucking broke. And they survive off of whatever they can.
Expensive. I can guarantee you what they got paid by those scrap dealers was minimal.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I work in the construction industry somehow, and there is a lot of people that work in that industry that are below the poverty line and whatever they can do to survive, right?
Yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, we need that guaranteed minimum income.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, I think the one thing to take from that is that everybody is a little bit hurting right now. And
are you kidding me?
Fuck all you scumbags. Don't steal shit.
Yeah,
and also, COVID's fuck all tough. You really rich people that won't help out people that need help.
I.e. corporations.
All right, what are we talking? We're doing TED Talks now.
Fuck yeah. All right, well, Jordan, what's your favorite beer of the three we've had tonight?
Oh, beat him to it.
Honestly, I'm going to shout out to you, Mike, and give your black is beautiful. It was good. It wasn't crazy. Like, the North Pole one's great, too, but I'm going to give a shout out to you for doing a really, really fucking good brew.
Yeah, I'm with
you. So cheers to that, man.
No, I'm with you, Jordan. Out of the three, I think I have to go with Mike's as well, strictly because it was drinkable beyond drinkable. It was enjoyable.
Beyond most of shit.
No, it was enjoyable. But not only that, but I think I might even have preferred it slightly over the North Paw one.
Wow.
The North Paw had that tanginess that I'm not sure where it came from.
It was a bit more boozy.
And definitely more boozy, yeah. So I think I liked Mike's a little bit better, too. And also, part of that factor comes from him being a home brewer who I'm watching the evolution. I'm seeing the improvement
for sure.
From beer to beer. You know what I mean? Like, and I want to give him the encouragement. But at the same time, it was a fucking good beer.
All right, Mike, what's yours?
Oh, North Paw.
Good answer. Didn't say his own beer.
But
both my beers are good.
I do really enjoy my version because it's still really drinkable.
Yeah.
I didn't fuck it up totally.
I'd be really interested to try some other versions of this beer.
I know. I really wish we could get some up here, but the majority have been south of the border, and the border's closed.
Supposedly, from the Instagram nerd, there may be two or three new releases on the mainland coming out soon. North Paw was the first, but I've heard some good news. I don't have brewery nice names, but from talking to some people that are very Black Lives Matter and people of color, Native, everything, we should see a couple more coming out in the next couple months.
It'd be nice if we could do another episode strictly on that.
Bit. Yeah. So I'm just going to say here, just call out to all breweries.
Yeah.
In all breweries in BC, if you support people of color, whatever it is, maybe you should think about going over and checking out how to brew this Black is Beautiful beer and supporting people of color be it Indigenous, be it Black, whatever it is. Word. If you can help support these people, maybe that money goes towards the biopic. There's some money going towards people going to brewing school and stuff. Sure. Whatever it is.
There's a lot of that going on. There's also, like, in the film industry, they're doing a big thing right now. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds is hiring a whole cast for his next movie that are all
people of color,
like Indigenous, everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you guys hear this and you're a brewer, show us what you fucking got.
Yeah.
If you're a brewer and you're out there and you're thinking, I don't have anybody who's a person of color working in my facility, you know what? Reach out to you don't even need to hire. You can reach out to the community. Find somebody.
Yeah.
Get them involved.
Yeah.
And bring them in. Hiring would be a great way to go. But anything at this point, just to get people involved and make them feel a part of this. Yeah. I know as a white guy with a beard, I know that the brewing community is primarily full of white guys with beards.
Yeah, three here.
And if you can bring somebody who is a person of color or identifies with that community, then why not?
And get them involved. Not even just there. Also the LGBT community, right?
Sure. 100%, Mike. Sure. I was just about to say that.
Anybody
it
who's
doesn't,
not...
like, even if you know a good white brewer that has got the same basic, like, love of everything.
If they, like, have the heart for
the
it.
The heart, like, it's like, let's not get just color into it all the time. But, I mean, it's all love all the time, especially from us at Pacific Brew Chat. We want to see all the colored people, all the Indigenous people, all us crackers do well.
We just want to make sure that no matter who you are,
you're involved.
We want to see more people 100%. Of all communities, not just us white people. We want to see everyone at the table, whatever it is. So
when there's more diversity, it's better for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things I love about Canada is there is definitely diversity here, especially on the coasts. And we just need to see more of that diversity in beer and whatever way it can be. Yeah. So if you're a person of color, if you're in the LGBTQ community, reach out to your local brewery and see if you can make it that much better for you and for your community, because it's better for everyone.
For sure.
And fuck Parallel 49. Sorry.
What?
Oh, yeah. They hate everything.
Wow.
Okay. It's Pitcraft Beer Dad. Hit me up.
All right. Well,
I had to say it, man. They're not good people.
Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at PacificBeerChat.com. You can find us on all social media at Pacific Beer Chat. If you want to help support us, probably not Parallel 49 at this point.
Fuck them.
You can go to You can go to patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. Shout out to Steve. Indy Beer Show.
Indy Beer Show. Woo! And Ras von der Hook. We love you, buddy.
Cheers.
See you out.
Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at PacificBeerChat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@PacificBeerChat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.